In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Very early, on the first day of the week, early in the morning, those are the first words in almost every Easter gospel. Early in the morning, thanks to all of you who have gotten up early in the morning on this special day of the year. You've made your procession to the cathedral in the dark, early in the morning. Are you awake yet? Did the fire wake you up? Did the music wake you up? Did your parents wake you up? Did the resurrection wake you up? Waking up before dawn, waking up for the dawn, is an exciting experience anywhere, but it is especially beautiful today. Dawn can be what the mystic Christians called a thin time, a thin place, when we sense how close we are in the earthly world to the divine world. Thin places are windows into the holy. They are like our cathedral stained glass windows through whom the sun is just about to shine through. These days I've been leading many tours of our cathedral stained glass windows again. And when the sun gets a little brighter, take a look, especially at the Andrews Drive transept window. The places and names on that window are a history of the church waking up. In fact, they're a history of hope and resurrection. The old town of Barthasville is in that window. Oglethorpe is in that window, though he is rightly obscured by an unnamed Native American. Three of the most ornery and obstinate saints of the church are there: William Laud, John Wycliffe, and Samuel Seabury. I don't like them, but they are part of us. Part of the church, because they are there, I'm especially glad that St. Columba of Iona also made it into the window. I'm glad St. Columba is there because he represents a Celtic tradition of Christianity in this Atlanta cathedral. The Celts, those early Christians of Ireland and Scotland, lived close to nature and to the earth. They represent for us an earthen spirituality, a spirituality close to fire and water, a spirituality close to the daily rising of the sun. A simple way of knowing God in nature and animals, rather like the American South, I suggest. Some of these early Celtic Christians spoke of thin places in the natural world. These thin places were sacred spots where the earthly world and the divine world seemed very close to one another. Indeed, at a thin place, the divine and spiritual world might suddenly break into one's life like these Easter bells, revealing grace and glory. The Old Testament hero Jacob had dreams in thin places where he awoke and exclaimed, "Surely God is in this place, and I didn't know it." I've known some of those thin places in my life, and you have too. There was a river in my youth. Everybody else called it a creek. But it was a raging river for my soulful imagination. There was an ocean. There was a hideout in the woods, a temple. There was a mountain. Tombs, cemeteries are thin places too. These are places typically that are on the edge of something else. And so I sometimes call thin places edge places. Edge places are where we know the natural world very clearly because we also know the spiritual world very clearly. We're on the edge. This morning, very early, Easter morning is an edge place, a thin place. Our natural and ordinary world comes close to God this morning. 2,000 years ago in ancient Israel, the tomb for a renegade prophet became an edge place. When Jesus was laid in that tomb, his friends and his family, his followers and lovers and devotees were distraught. It appeared that hope was lost. The great grace which Jesus had preached seemed to be buried with him. They had watched the man they loved suffer innocently. Was this the way of God? What had happened? In fact, one of the most ordinary events of the natural world and the most common event of all life for every animal and flower is death. As much as we work to avoid it, we all know in our heads that we will die. But we are rarely emotionally prepared for the edge of life and death. The man Jesus went to death and went through what we all will go through one day. Indeed, Jesus lived through what many of us go through every day. We find a way to suffer every day. We worry about the future. We place our hope in project after project, event after event. If I could only get this job, then all would be well. If I could only get that person to love me, then all would be well. If I could only make this amount of money, then all would be well. If I could only stop worrying, then all would be well. And of course, in other parts of the world today, the suffering is far worse. So many of our weak hopes go unfulfilled. The death of those hopes is one of the most common of human experiences. But there is another hope On the morning of the resurrection, at the edge of night and day, at the edge of despair, in the thin place that we call dawn, morning, God delivers hope. God says, I have known the pain and suffering of the world because I have known them in Jesus the Christ. I have buried that suffering and death in the grave and have caused a new life to arise. I believe that every morning is an edge place, a thin place in the divide between divine and earthly. Every morning is a thin place, not just Easter morning, when we can choose between hope and hopelessness. I know that the early moments of the morning, when we don't know whether we are asleep or awake, I know then that our imagination can tempt us toward the terrible. Imagination is a great thing, and if it is focused on fear and anxiety, imagination poisons our soul. But if imagination is focused on hope and goodwill, if it is focused on service, then imagination feeds our soul with overwhelming joy. Easter morning and every morning presents us with an edge place, a great opportunity to see the kingdom of heaven. Every morning is Easter morning. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has dawned upon you. Saint Columba found resurrection by seeking out the edge places. He took the gospel to the world, and he is said to have found rivers and springs devoted to various gods. And when he found such edge places, he would bless that water. And with that, the evil spirits were separated from it. He is said to have blessed and sanctified over 300 such springs of water. We did that this morning when we blessed water for baptism. This ordinary and natural water became the water that provides for all of us the hope of new life and resurrection. All of us are touched by this blessed water. Yes, edge places can be dangerous places at the break of day, maybe beside a raging river, maybe working with those in prison, maybe serving the hungry or the poor or the violent. Edge places, like the thin places in life, they can be scary, like waking up in the dark, like seeing a big fire in the yard, like walking to the tomb. But they call us towards them. If you're tired or bored in life, if you're looking for new life, look for an edge this day. Find a child, find a friend, look for some place and someone you can serve. Look for a river that you can bless. Look for a lover whom you can forgive. Thank you. Thanks to all of you who have come to the cathedral this morning, this thin place on the edge of morning. Are you awake yet? You are the first ones up today. You're the first ones here. You're like those women who were the first at the tomb on the first day of the week. They got up early before dawn to visit the thin place, the tomb, to go to the edge, and thus they were the first witnesses of resurrection. And do you know what they did then? They went out and told people. It can be the same with us. It's up to us this morning, we who are the witnesses of life and resurrection, to tell people about it. Spread good gossip. Otherwise, the bad gossip will continue to prevail. It's up to us. When we take the initiative to spread good news, we fill people's hearts with Jesus again. We set holy fire to an eager world. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.